Welcome to Sunday Sermons and other recordings from the Unitarian Universalist Church of Davis, California. Please visit our website at www.uudavis.org for further information.
Welcome to the Unitarian Universalist Church of Davis. I'm Grania Grant, today's worship associate. We're glad that you're here this morning.
And I'm the Reverend Morgan McLean, the Assistant Minister for Congregational Life. It is good to be together with you. And you are welcome here, no matter how you identify or who you love, no matter the color of your skin or your personal circumstances, no matter your understanding of God or your answers to life's big questions, you are welcome into this community.
If this is your first time here, we hope you will stop by our welcome table so we can get to know you. Here you will find a community of caring and sharing. In your printed bulletin, you'll find more information about the programs of the church. There are many ways to get involved, and we hope you will join us in creating this community together. The hospitality team in particular could really use a couple of eager volunteers. If anyone's interested, please let me know.
And a few...
all that is being held by the people in this room, we light one pillar candle for the sorrows of the world, for the moments that weigh heavy on our hearts. We light a second pillar candle for the joys of the world, for the moments of hope and celebration.
We begin our service by lighting the flaming chalice, and this morning our intern and campus minister, Alex Hader-Winnett, is going to light our chalice and tell us a little bit about what the chalice means to him.
The chalice, the symbol of our faith, to me represents a beacon to community, calling us to our best selves. It symbolizes the warmth of our faith, the beauty of truth, and the light of justice.
It is a precious day to be together, and I'm wondering if there's anyone here who wants to play with markers. Oh, come on down, Carol. Come on down. You want to play with markers? I need some help. So anyone really, I really need help. That's what I really need. Are there anyone who wants to help me? Come on, April. You're breaking my heart. Oh, okay. Yes, it worked. All right, so come on over here. We're going to have this green paper, and you can use a folder if you need a writing desk, okay? So everyone grab a piece of paper, and look, you can pick your marker. And we're only drawing marker on the paper. Deal? Sorry. Only drawing marker on the paper. So come on in. And I'm going to ask you to draw something, okay? Hold on, wait a second. We haven't told you what we're drawing yet. Let's get Neil a writing desk. That would be good. All right. So, gentlemen, can I ask you just not to draw on the wood? So let's draw over here. There you go. All right, you got your marker, you got your paper. Anyone else want to come down? There's plenty of paper, plenty of markers. Okay, so now what I would like you to do, not draw pictures necessarily, but drawing lines, how would you draw eternal life or endless love? Go ahead. Eternal life, endless love. Do you know what that means? Do you know what eternal means? It means forever. Non-ending. Do you need a writing desk? Here you go. Okay. All right. Cyrus has one. You want to show everyone? You want to hold it up? Not yet. Okay. Something that never ends. Like how much you love your parents. You should have seen the eye rolls I just got. What do you think, Billy? Anyone got anything to show? Endless love. There's nothing on there yet. How would you draw love? Okay, he's working on it. All right, Rowan has one. Rowan, can we show everyone how it's going? It's just a start. Okay, here's Rowan's. Yeah. Pretty good. Pretty good. Endless love there. All right, he's going to keep working on that. Okay, if you didn't like that, maybe there's and you want, you can either use your same paper or different paper. How would you draw your connected body? So your mind, your physical body, and your spirit. How would you draw all of those connected together? Carol, where's your... Carol, I was counting on you. Hey. Billy, that's great. Can you show everybody? Oh, Neil, yours is ready too? Okay. Bye, Neil. Open. Okay. Nice. Nice. All right. So Alex is going to help us get some of these on display. Let's see. Oh, Emmett, can I show everyone yours? This is cool. What do you think? Nice. All right. That is, that's eternal, endless love. So today, we're going to be, in the service, we're going to be talking about Celtic spirituality. So you might have seen other symbols that kind of look like this. Have you ever seen something like this? Yeah. So Celtic knots, they're called. Lines without beginnings or endings, things that connect us, connect humans to the divine, connect humans to nature. Symbols that when Christianity got introduced, merged with the cross here. And this, or the Trinity, how three things can exist together, mind, body, spirit, together with one. Human, divine nature, together, endlessly interwoven and intertwined. So let's put up, Alex is going to put these up for us too. And, oh, Bennett, that's awesome. Can I show everyone that? Are you done? Oh, nice. Again, no beginning, no ending. How about you? Can we put that one up? All right, we've got another one.
I made another one.
For Neil, endless love is goats.
I made another one.
It's okay. Jonathan, what you got?
Fish.
All right, beautiful. So we're going to put these up here so we can all see them throughout the service. And then if you're ready to go to the bridge house, come on down. Don't go running out yet until we start singing. Ooh, these are cool. Okay, we're going to... Wait.
We got to sing the song first.
All right, are we ready to sing our children's blessing?
I'll tell you.
Okay. Hold on one second. One second.
Rather than a personal, vulnerable reflection that makes me cry, I have a bit of a history lecture for everybody today. Around the time that Buddha was teaching in India, and Lao Tzu was in China, and Jeremiah was preaching in Israel, the Celtic population of Iron Age Britain had reached between 2 and 3 million. They were a widespread variety of rural, highly mobile tribal groups who shared a common culture. Due to their relative inaccessibility, the tribes of the far north were left alone by the Romans for the most part, and the Celtic tribes of Ireland were left unmolested entirely. So the Celts had about 1,500 years in which to evolve and refine their culture and spirituality before the arrival of Christian missionaries between 500 and 600 AD. The Iron Age Celts were known for their lack of division between spirituality and daily life. They considered nothing secular. For example, there was no real differentiation between mind, body, and spirit. As we just heard, those were connected. And there was no differentiation between healing with medicine and healing with prayers, because both of those things were necessary for a patient's recovery. Their days and months were filled with blessings and spells, meditations, rituals and ceremonies, divinations, and simple charms for everything from getting a good price for a cow to making butter. But the single most important teaching of Celtic spirituality, from which all others spring, is reverence for nature. That reverence permeated every aspect of their culture. The Celtic high kings literally married the land. Their coronations were also weddings. Celts worshiped their gods and goddesses outdoors and believed that while all things in nature have their own divine life forces, nothing in nature exists separately from the divine. Everything in nature, from rocks and plants to animals and humans, was a part of that divine. Time itself was sacred, circular rather than linear, and measured by means of astronomy rather than considered a human construct. Light and dark were partners, but light, or the masculine aspect of the divine, was believed to be born of darkness, the feminine aspect of the divine. Days were measured from sunset to sunset, which is why so many Celtic holidays actually begin the day before they appear on modern calendars. The closest thing that the Celts had to a priest class were the Druids, who were so much more than that. They were physical, natural, and social scientists. They were philosophers and ambassadors, chief advisors to kings, lawyers and judges, psychologists, theologians, healers, historians, and fortune tellers. Studying to be a Druid took 20 years, which is an amazing amount of education in a society in which the overwhelming majority of the population was illiterate. Because the Celts were fervent believers in reincarnation, the spiritual penalty for suicide was simply having to undertake the same life lesson all over again. They believed in restorative justice, which focused on reparations rather than punishment, and they believed that humans are essentially good. All of those beliefs would later cause significant problems for the Catholic Church, especially the last one, which is diametrically opposed to the doctrine of original sin. It wasn't all pastoral bliss. The average lifespan of an Iron Age Celt who lived past the age of 5 was 30. Warfare between tribes was a regular and ongoing feature of Celtic life. Slaves were acquired by means of war, raids, or debt servitude. And slavery was hereditary, so falling into debt was very scary. The Celts practiced human sacrifice, and they were headhunters who might keep the heads of their most fearsome enemies pickled in alcohol for years or even decades. They would pull them out, show them to guests. Their deep appreciation for the natural world didn't necessarily extend to other people. Still, they're an excellent example of a population whose daily routines and spiritual beliefs were tightly intertwined. They lived with the seasons, and they cared for the earth, and they respected the interdependent web of all existence. There are so many ideas and traditions that have been handed down through all of those centuries, and I can speak to a few of them from my own experience. I discovered, as the only pagan kid in my first grade class, that the other kids had not been taught how to identify trees or plants. that they didn't know the names of stars, and they didn't understand where their food came from. I also learned that their mothers didn't make their clothes, and that they were taken to doctors when they had colds, not forced to drink disgusting concoctions consisting of macerated plant material and alcohol. Every time I hear someone joke about medicinal alcohol, I cringe and I think you have no idea. I think that those home remedies strengthened us in ways in which maybe they weren't supposed to. My siblings and cousins and I learned very young not to complain about symptoms if we didn't want to be treated. And I think we were generally healthy in self-defense. All of the stories and knowledge that still sustain us, the love for the planet that still creates community and brings people together. The work that this community does for social justice and equitable food and housing for people who need it. I think that the ancient druids would be proud. I think that they would be interested in how we celebrate our days and the work that we do together as a group.
And thank you, Grania, for our history lesson and reflection. There is not a lot that was written down about the religious practices or beliefs of the Celts. We know that they were polytheistic, celebrating many gods and goddesses, most of whom were celebrated with a specific location. So a town or a river or a lake would have a spirit or a god or goddess. Druids, we heard about, trained for 20 years. They administered the practices, foretold prophecies, and judged civil and criminal cases. They had formal roles in society. We heard about the symbolism, about circles and endless connections, the sun and the sky, the wheel of the year, an important religious symbol. They believed in magic and curses. They believed in mind, body, and spirit as one, inseparable. They often had sets of three. That symbolism of three was important, and it is maybe for that reason that when Christianity arrived, they integrated that Trinity, and they integrated the practice of the Celtic culture into Christianity. Those ancient stories, that connection to nature, and the celebration of each day continued to be part of that now Christian Celtic people. John O'Donohue was an Irish poet, author, and priest, and he is the person who popularized Celtic spirituality. In his book, Annam Cara, which means soul friend, he explains, the Celtic mind was not burdened by dualism. It did not separate what belongs together. The Celtic imagination articulates the inner friendship that embraces nature, divinity, underworld, and human world as one. Not burdened by dualism. No black and white, us and them. Everything in the world as one. For that reason, Celtic spirituality was inseparable from everyday living. Certainly, there were some sacred rituals and practices, like the celebration of the change of the season at the solstice, which we'll celebrate here on December 21st. But, in the same vein, the celebration of the rising of the sun or the growth of the individual every day was just as sacred. O'Donohue further explains, Celtic spirituality teaches us about that celebration of each day. For the Celtic person, the new day was lived amidst nature. It's easy to have a creative sense of the day when you live in the presence of the great divinity called nature. For the Celtic people, nature was not matter. Rather, it was a luminous and numinous presence that had depth, possibility, and beauty. He continues, explaining that Celtic spirituality had a great sense of the significance of each day, how the new day is sacred. The Celts never entered the day with a repetitious, deadening perspective, he says, which sometimes we do when we have to get back to the grind, go to work, get those errands done. No, they took each new day as a beginning. While some of us make or try to make each day holy, our culture does not support this. Instead, we punctuate our year by special days, holidays, and personal celebrations that take us out of the daily grind and remind us to celebrate, to honor, to pay attention. The list of special days in this country is actually very long, from religious observations to presidential proclamations to medical research charities and businesses seeking publicity. We put a claim on many days. This week, we celebrated Thanksgiving. And then on Friday, some of us celebrated Black Friday by shopping or by protesting shopping. And since 2007, the Friday after Thanksgiving also marks Native American Heritage Day. We are about to enter the Christian days of Advent and the Jewish celebration of 8 days of Hanukkah. Beyond religious and national holidays and special observances, we also celebrate special days associated with the people in our lives. We mark birthdays, romantic anniversaries, professional anniversaries, and we often acknowledge days, milestones where people have died. These are milestones in life's journey, and we rejoice in them, in ourselves and with family and friends and colleagues. We have special days for many reasons. We have special days to remind us to be thoughtful, engaged citizens, uniting people across the country. In fact, around the world, Human Rights Day is celebrated on December 10th. That's the day in 1948 that the United Nations adopted the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. And each month, we know there's a month for everything, for raising awareness of ongoing struggles and other historical commemorations. November is, among others, Child Safety Protection Month, National Adoption Awareness Month, and National Diabetes Awareness Month. We have these days to unite us and to honor past sacrifices. In January every year, we mark Martin Luther King Day, and most recently, President Obama declared that Martin Luther King Day of Service by engaging in local community service to honor the civil rights movement. Just 2 weeks ago, we had Veterans Day, honoring the women and men who served in the military. We also have special days to clear our minds and to have a little fun. We make a big deal of birthdays, especially with little ones, or once you start hitting those big ones that end in zeros, especially if there's 2 zeros. That's a really big one. And although it's not a presidential proclamation, one of my favorite days to celebrate is April 8th, because that is Free Cone Day at Ben & Jerry's. We do make lots of reasons to celebrate. And to remember where we came from, we have Mother's Day and Father's Day to remind us to celebrate those figures in our lives. And just yesterday was Evolution Day, marking the day when Charles Darwin published On the Origin of the Species, sparking a great controversy in 1859. We have these days to remind us about life, that we come together in lots of different ways to make meaning. So how can we draw wisdom from the Celts and make every day one for celebration, even on our sad days, even in the darkness? Because we don't always have good experiences. Even on our special days, people disappoint us. Sometimes they forget our birthdays or anniversaries. Sometimes they don't know that it's a special day or what it means to us. But still, that's part of living, of sharing what the day means and sharing how we might find life in the darkness. Every day, any day, is a gift. Sometimes we need to remind ourselves of this. We could decide that tomorrow is Call an Old Friend Day, or Have an Adventure Day, or Take the Kids to the Park Day. Or sometime in a few months, you could have Thanksgiving the Sequel. You can make cranberry sauce and turkey, and you can remember to be thankful, because certainly we need to do that more than once a year. And through all of this, it is the people that makes the holiday a holy day. It is how we make meaning of our lives, by sharing our experiences, by sharing what we do, how we understand the world together. Back to John O'Donohue. He says, possibility and change become growth within the shape of the time that we call a day. Days are where we live. That's the rhythm that shapes our lives. Your life takes the form of each new day that is given to you. He tells that there is an old dictum that says, it is more difficult to spend a day well than to write a book. It is more difficult to spend a day well than to write a book. A day is precious because each day is essentially a microcosm of your whole life. Each new day offers possibilities and promises that we've never seen before. Our celebration of days, every day, but those special days especially, those holidays have roots in religious life because it is in religious traditions that people come together to mark life's moments, to mourn, to celebrate, to question, to make sense of the complicated world we live in. Each religion celebrates their holidays with stories, food, family celebrations, unique traditions. These stories, these religious practices give us examples of people bringing hope and new beginnings throughout history. In these stories, love and light always overcome sadness and darkness. That's what each new day is, an opportunity for love and light. An opportunity to start fresh, to contemplate, and to appreciate the many things that make this world what it is. From free ice cream to international human rights, or birthday celebrations and the rising sun. An opportunity to contemplate what makes this world so complex and so beautiful. That seems like a wonderful way to spend a day. So may it ever be. I invite you now into a time of reflection and prayer, a time to think about your day and your days ahead. Center yourselves in your seats. Find your feet firmly on the ground. soften your eyes and notice your breath. Remember, you are whole, mind, body, and spirit. We come on this day together in this moment to create a holy space, a space where we turn inward to reflect on our fears, to reflect on our anxieties and the sadness within us. We name those places of hurt and discomfort, those places of regret. And we forgive ourselves a little bit, knowing that we are only human. We come together in our imperfections as we seek to be and become our best selves. We know that our fears, our anxieties, our regrets will lighten as we share them and as we turn to a new day, a new beginning, to start fresh in celebration. There is much that we celebrate, and so we also name the places of great joy inside of us, the people we love, the milestones we reach, our accomplishments. We celebrate all that brings us happiness and fulfillment. And we know that these things cannot happen alone, that we exist in precious community. So we turn our hearts and minds to those people in our lives who we love, who love us, people who need us. Let us call to mind the people we know who are mourning today, knowing that the holiday season is hard when there is someone you love who is not there. May they feel our love. May they be comforted with memory. And let us send our hope, our prayers for healing to those who we know who are struggling with physical and mental illness, who need any concoction, any support they can get. And as we imagine those people that we know, let us also imagine the people we don't, extended beyond this community into the world, a network of mutuality, a network of humanity that grieves and loves, that hopes and dreams. And let us send our prayers for comfort, for peace, for security around the world, knowing that these communities need us even from far away. And as we picture those communities, those fellow human beings who need us, let us also picture the world around them, the trees and the waterways, the things that sustain life. And let us acknowledge that we exist in precious balance, that we must work together to create a sustainable world for all of creation. We are part of the shift of the stars, the turn of the earth, and all change. Amen. Come to the end of our service, and we extinguish these lights that have been held here, knowing that the sorrows that have been shared have been lightened by being held in community. and knowing that the joys that we have are always brighter when we're together. And we extinguish this chalice, this symbol of Unitarian Universalism, knowing the light is always in each of us, connecting us to so many others. Hear these words from poet Philip Larkin.
What are days for? Days are where we live.
They come, they wake us time and time over.
They are to be happy in. Where can we live but days?
Let the people say amen.